for rocking out to some Delinquent Habits. Really, really crazy, awesome song, not gonna lie. Well, we're gonna be talking Yank Transfers. As Ryan and Rob
have a dance party.
Have a dance party.
Burn the watch.
In case any of you thought that the transfer window was over, it is not. Because Bob Bradley still has yet to find a club, and he's going to some pretty odd places to do so. Santos Laguna, the latest one, and he's actually in Santos. Like, it's not like somebody made that up on Twitter. Like, there's a picture of a dude with his arm around Bob Bradley at the airport.
Show of hands, who would love it if Bob Bradley was the new manager for Chievo?
And no hands are up.
Yeah, no hands at all.
And Beckham just ill-carded for yelling at the soccer ball.
We are also watching LA Galaxy in Sporting KC played on what is probably the shittiest MLS field I've seen in a long time, ever since Rice Eccles Stadium.
They're playing in late 90s Bosnia, it looks like.
Ooh.
Bombed and depleted.
Post-Soviet joke.
Okay.
Bravo.
And there's our weekly genocide joke.
So Bob Bradley to Santos. Good yes. idea, bad idea.
I don't mind it. I mean,
goal KC, inordinate amounts of blue stuff. Confetti sprayed everywhere.
Well, I don't I think Bob will whatever.
whatever.
He's not the coach for the U.S. team anymore. Yeah. We don't really give a shit.
I hope he does well, but he's off my radar. I mean, good for him. When it happens, it'll happen, but...
Logically,
we'll always remember Fia for giving up the early goal and then coming back to tie or win.
I'm a Bob. I did support Bob until the end, but whatever.
Yeah, but now that you're obligated...
Now he's gone? Well,
hey, thank God.
In Jurgen, I trust...
More on that later.
This is the guy with the Jurgen on his computer desktop background.
He's jumping. That's it's cool.
True. He's showing energy.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I don't know why a Mexican team would ever trust Bob Bradley. Because what does Bob know about the Mexican style of play? Like, how is he going to coach
that style at all? Mexicans beating them 5-0.
Too soon.
Maybe they want to change a pace. Maybe they're sick of Mexican soccer, which is just run fast, kick balls.
And maybe Santos, they'd like to. Maybe they'd like to put 10 to people behind the ball, and then
yeah, why not?
Occasionally throw 2 people up forward on attack.
Who knows? Maybe all they want to do is go down in the first 15 minutes and fight their way back. Because if that's what they want, Bob Bradley's their man. It is exciting. I'm not saying it's not exciting. Egypt's still a possible place for him to go, but he definitely has some suitors internationally, which would be neat to actually have an American manager somewhere. I believe the last time we had that was the Scottish third division or something. Like, yeah. And that lasted for all of a month or two.
Fun times will be had by all.
It will be. Now, the player transfer window just closed up, so there's actually been a lot of movement over the course of the entire summer. I mean, we got Bradley to Chievo. You got Fail Haber moving back to MLS. Herc Gomez to Ticos in Mexico. Brad Friedel to Spurs. Gooch to Sporting CP. Spectre to Birmingham City.
Gooch to another bench.
Gooch back to the bench. Wait, back to? He never left.
That's very true.
Well, another bench. This bench is in Portugal, so it's probably a lot nicer, you know?
It might be nice. Yeah, well,
a lot more scenic.
It's not as good as those Milan benches, though. Those are pretty solid
those
benches.
Those things are like
leather
lazy
seat
boys.
Races.
I don't know why. Yeah,
seat racing.
And then what else? You got pretty much half the U.S. roster to Rangers, Boca Negra, and Bedoya. Yeah, we know.
You don't know. You act like you know, but you don't.
Fabian Johnson's got another teammate at Hoffenheim in young Danny Williams.
Hoffenheim America?
Hoffenheim America is not that clever. What you're literally doing is saying Hoffenheim and putting
Hoffenheim
the word America.
Hoffenheim America?
I don't know
about that, Rob.
What's your opinion?
What about Ameriheim?
Better.
Sure.
Yeah. Only if you want to, Rob.
Oh, jeez.
How was that the save of the game? He didn't catch it.
He parried away a ball that he should have caught.
So impressive.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I'll give you good hands in the game.
What?
Start this podcast over.
Okay.
This will probably just be released as a B-side in 5 years when we're the world's most famous podcasters, right?
Can you start over?
No, we can't start over. Shit.
Okay, so transfers.
Okay, so what are your guys' favorite, least favorite Yank transfers? And if anyone, who needs to still move, who didn't move?
Most definitely the favorite is Junior Dequivo.
Playing in Serie A, from what I couldn't even name one of the other guys on Chievo. So I'm assuming that Bradley is going to be able to start in these games. And Serie A is I'd say equal to, maybe a little bit higher than Bundesliga.
I'd say it's a wee bit lower, but yeah, they're similar.
It's on its way down, but it's still a decent enough league. I mean, it's a top four league in the world, which...
Well, sure, the power teams are still better than Germany's power teams. I feel like Germany's better top to bottom, probably.
But as a whole, the league is better in Germany.
Right.
But regardless, the move for Bradley's a good one, and I think it's my favorite one as well. I think Spectre Birmingham's also a good one. I think he's found his level, and hopefully he can find a position now. But.
And then the dumbest one was Gooch to Sporting.
I'd say that one is pretty stupid. Why doesn't Gooch just come back to MLS?
Or come to MLS, period, because he's never been here before.
We talked about this in the last podcast. I know. Pretty extensively. And he should come home, but apparently he's just dead set on his payday. I also like Josie to AZ. I mean, man, like that's worked out like a charm so far. Like, extremely well.
Now he's showing confidence. I mean, we saw in the Costa Rica match him tracking back for the ball, which we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, I mean, let's not get all lovey-dovey yet, though, because I feel like we could go to the Dutch league and score some goals. But
I'm talking about international play, though. Okay. The Costa Rica match, he came back. He won balls near the midfield.
So you guys were happy with the way he played on Friday?
Other than the fact that he was offsides 900 times.
Well, that has to do with being out of sync with the rest of the team, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
But if you ask me, my least favorite transfer, despite my my bias, is Bedoya to Rangers.
It's absolutely a sideways step, why? If not step down.
Why does that make sense?
It really doesn't. I mean, I'm sure he gets a payday out of it, but he's playing like two meaningful matches a year.
Sure, he's got the physicality to play in the league, but he fits much better off in any other league in Europe.
Well, at least he'll be on a team that's going to be winning matches, and that kind of will have to help his mental side, at least.
But they're out of Europe. They crashed out, didn't they?
Yeah, they crashed.
Well, they're still going to be winning games in Scotland, at least.
That's fine. If you beat Sand Home for the Blind, anyone can do that. The SPL is a worthless league now. You have two big games a year, and that decides the title.
Very true. Hearts is, meh. That's a decent match. But anything beyond that, it made no sense for him to go there. No,
Are you trying to say Dundee United is bad?
Yes.
Yes. Extraordinary.
Yeah, shut up.
Okay.
Nobody cares about your feelings.
Who asked you?
I'd say a few other ones which have been working out so far. Beasley to Puebla. Yeah. I mean, that one was pretty off the wall when I heard it first, you know.
But he has a career again.
Yeah, he does, and he's performing well. I mean, I don't think it'll be long until we see him in at least national team camp.
He was in the last camp, wasn't he?
Yeah, though. And actually playing.
Yeah.
Can I also say that one of the best moves was actually a non-move, which was Dempsey staying put?
I agree.
Because I could just see him going...
It's the best. Do you see him fitting in Arsenal?
No.
Arsenal, Sevilla, we heard Roma with the new American owners wanted to...
Which nothing happened.
And I mean, any of those three teams, he could have played, but a dip in form and he is completely gone. Fulham will let him play through his bad form that he's going to have from time to time because he is their guy.
Yeah, he's the man at Fulham. I mean, they rely on him thoroughly. Although now that he's got some extra help, I'm kind of curious to see how many goals he'll really score. I mean, Brian Ruiz, that's huge, having a guy like him on the field.
And getting the back line tightened up with Gregera is also going to help. But I think him staying at Fulham is the best place for him. Arsenal, he doesn't fit there. I mean, I don't see where he would get consistent playing time out of position. Sevilla, I guess that'd be a good move, but personally, does he want to leave England with the young family? I think he wants to stay in England. He's been saying that for a while now.
And Clint is also one of the biggest homebodies out there. I mean, the guy wants... I mean, moving to London was a huge move for him, and I never got the impression that he really wanted to move anywhere else again. So with that, it brings us to Yank of the Week, which...
Well, let's talk about the match first.
The match first? First, and then Yank of the Week and Word of the Week?
Well, what other... There was no other Yank action, really, besides...
Besides that.
Besides Real Salt Lake.
Besides Real Salt Lake.
Besides the one MLS match, there wasn't much other
Yank And Beckerman action. Scores, which makes Ryan 2-for-2 on predicting.
I am 2-for-2 for
Beckerman. Well, I think it's going to be a pretty unanimous decision on Yank of the Week. Or maybe I'm just making an ass out of you and me.
Mainly you, but okay.
Yeah, you're just going to make an ass out of yourself, Rob. That's fine.
So, Costa Rica. Fuck happened.
Oh, God. We played, like, some other country for the first 20 minutes, and I don't know which country it is, but it was a hell of a lot better than we usually are.
Oh, I think it was more... I thought it was more half hour, maybe almost until, like, the last 5-10 minutes of the second half. We looked great.
Of the second half?
Of the first half, going into halftime. But you just don't score and have nothing to show for it. Eventually, Costa Rica was going to get a chance.
We had zero shots on goal in the first half. Not a single shot.
But we were controlling the game.
But that's great.
You can control the game all you want. You don't score.
I will give up 98% possession to have a 5-shot advantage. We had zero shots on goal.
But I'm just saying, when you have the ball that much, you should be making them pay for it.
Yes, but we didn't, and that's the problem. I don't care how
much... And then Costa Rica got their chances and they took it.
I don't care how much we hold the ball. We can have 5% possession, but put shots on frame. We didn't do that. We didn't do the important part of the game. That's put the ball in the net. Possession is great, but worthless possession is just that. Worthless.
Where the hell was Donovan?
That's a damn good question.
Played? I know, right? Shocking. And he blew the chance in the first half. And we could have at least gotten a shot on goal.
That's bad. You got to hit the target from there.
And then he went and did absolutely nothing for the rest of the match.
We've seen him play less than stellar games in that central position. I mean, he does not fit well there. I don't know why they're trying to force him there. Put Torres... In that middle role, put Dino back on the wing.
See, but the problem is, who are you going to put in Torres' place, though? Is because what his job is to slow down the game and control the tempo. And if you're in Donovan's role, your job is to advance forward, make darting runs, not hold possession. Your job is to advance the ball.
Well, I think you hope it's Holden.
Oh, yeah, you do hope it's Holden. Mix would be great in that role. Well, not great, but he could be.
And when Norway, that season's done, I want to see him called in.
Immediately?
In post-haste.
Yeah. Him and Josh Gatt. It seems like Jurgen has his heart set on pure wingers on the outsides, which is why now we get another player back in Dempsey for the match tomorrow, and I don't know where he fits in.
Yeah.
I mean, in Donovan's role, but he's not a midfielder. I mean, he's not that center mid who can really track back. Is he a striker?
Our best player is Clint Dempsey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
And he doesn't fit into the system that Jurgen wants to play. That's poor management.
Now,
Dempsey's not getting any younger.
And we have... Who's going to fill in that role?
He's still got 3 years. So,
it's not like he's going to be there until 2014. Is there any question about that?
No.
No.
So why, what good does putting a system that we don't fit into?
I propose this. So because Josie's manager is being a dick and just bitching about how he's flying, you know, thousands of miles and he's playing, you know, minutes with the national team, whatever. Put Clint at that solo spot up top. And just see what, I mean, because he's not a power player like an Altidore. But he gives you a certain amount of creativity, inventiveness that could spring guys like Breck Shea, Robbie Rogers, guys like that in for chances which they wouldn't get with Josie.
I've never been wowed by Dempsey's defensive backtracking with the national team either. I've seen him do it for Fulham, but
my biggest concern is if you put Dempsey in that role up top, you assume he's going to play a hold-up back-to-goal role, which doesn't fit his game. I mean, he can do it, but he's much better suited on the wing.
I don't think that you have to have him play that kind of a role.
Well, then how position. Do you... So do you go with a 0-4 attack then? Do you go with the 4-6-0?
Force it, you. That sounds gross.
Sounds like something Bob would do.
That sounds like Steve Sampson.
So then, what good is putting him up top and negating his runs do? I mean, he's better.
You're
off.
Not negating runs because he'll put himself in places to take chances. He'll
but he do does that. He does better coming from, you know, that the hole, not up top.
Well, why couldn't we have him play on the wings?
Because Jurgen doesn't want that.
Jurgen wants pure wingers. I mean,
which we don't have.
Yeah. Well, we have them, but they're just not in camp. Josh Gatt, pure winger. Brett Shea,
he's a 19-year-old kid. Let's see what he does.
He's done really good things in Norway.
Okay, are you going to build a system around a 19-year-old kid?
Damn you. No.
Well, at least with Dempsey on the wing, couldn't you see him, even though he's not the pure winger, like you said, you could Donovan. Still see him making cuts in, and if we had him on the left, he could be in on his strong foot, taking shots on.
Hell, Landon's a winger. Landon should be on the outside.
Yeah, I agree. And
once Holden gets healthy, which it sounds like it's going to be soon, he's playing matches with the reserve team already, which is great news.
Mm-hmm.
For Bolton.
Yep. And so once Holden comes back, I would assume that he takes that spot where we saw Landon against Costa Rica, and Landon moves out onto the wing.
Jurgen said he sees Donovan as in a central role. Jurgen wants wants Donovan playing that central role, which he doesn't thrive there.
Then again, we've only judged this based on one match, and when he did play this role against Mexico, he was brilliant.
I'm judging it against the rest of his career.
Where has he played centrally? How long ago was he playing centrally?
He was playing, before the World Cup, he was playing that central role. He did not do well.
He didn't do well, and that was a year ago under a different system. I mean, let's be honest, Jurgen is trying a style that is completely off the wall in terms of what other U.S. national team coaches have tried before, right?
And let's also fair assumption? Remember.
Oh no, that's how it is. Yeah.
So basically, you're throwing a bunch of guys into a new system. And we knew this was going to happen. Sure, it sucks we lost at home to Costa Rica, but prior to this match, or even when Jurgen got hired, everybody knew there's going to be growing pains where we're going to look good, and then we're going to give up a soft goal.
And then we're going to look like crap for 70 minutes.
You got to go through growing pains. I mean, it happens. It wouldn't happen if we brought in another, like, Siggy or a Dom Kinnear, where the styles would be at least comparable to the style which we saw with Bob Bradley. But Jurgen's style is completely different.
And I don't think it's
not a magical elixir. You can't just one for one, you know, not miss a beat.
And I don't think the pool we have fits the system he wants. He's trying to force something that won't work, if you ask me.
Well, we're just under a year until qualifying officially starts up. So it's not to say that this is going to be the way that things will be played by the time that the World Cup qualifying games start in August.
What do you mean?
It's not to say that this system will stick. Maybe he's just testing it out.
You would hope that he's not trying to force anything. But what concerns me is that if we see Orozco tomorrow against Belgium, first sign that he might be trying to force a style on the national team.
Yeah.
Because Orozco or at left back, there's Castillo. But granted, there's no other... I mean, who else is going to play left back if not him?
Castillo is absolute ass. He is a waste of space.
Tell us how you really feel.
I think he is ass. He's a waste of space.
Okay. See, but right now we don't have anybody else who can play left back in camp. In camp
and
right
whose
now.
Whose fault is that?
Jurgen. So he really wanted to give Edgar a chance. And to be honest, in the first half, was not bad. Second half, abysmal.
He looked passable in the first half.
Yeah, it was passable. Which for a U.S. left back.
Fair enough.
It's all right.
Fair enough.
That'll keep you starting for the next game.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when you're spraying balls into the middle of the field where there's absolutely nobody, that's just stupid soccer.
The wheels, doors, mirrors, door handles fell off
everything.
In that second half. That was absolutely abysmal. And for the record, James P. Conrad, if you're watching Fox Soccer right now, his hair is incredible on television.
Accurate.
Love you, Jimmy. That dude is awesome.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we just saw...
We're ignoring this.
Oh, gosh.
We're ignoring this.
Okay. They just flashed up.
We're ignoring
Fox
it. We're,
not even going to talk about a potential lineup. I don't see what's wrong with that. See, here's something that I brought up yesterday. I think I was talking to you, Rob, mm-hmm. or maybe it was after the match with Ryan. But what's wrong with putting Agudelo in that spot with Donovan or on the wings? I mean, the guy's got creativity. He's got pace. It's worth a shot.
I still want.
It's a friendly. What the hell
do we
have to lose?
I still want Agudelo coming off the bench.
FIFA
at this point.
Ranking. Ooh, no.
He's a nice spark off the bench. I mean, he is. He's got good energy, and when he gets out there, he mixes it up. He tries to just throw himself in there and
that's
put
his best,
foot on ball.
His best role is coming in and being that off the bench spark plug, much like Morgan
super
did
sub.
With the win. With Ooh. Agudelo is the Morgan for the men's national team,
Ooh.
And I don't want Juan starting until he can prove himself to be 90-minute.
Rob, hands out of your.
Don't face. Say that name anymore.
Agudelo?
No.
Alex Morgan.
Gary. Yes.
Alex Morgan.
But I don't want Juan starting it right now. I don't think that fits his game at this point of his career.
I don't agree. I don't believe that he's ready for a starting role. Because if you ask me, if you're not starting every match in MLS, I don't think that you should be starting for the U.S. national team. Like, that's just a matter of principle.
I agree.
I'm not saying
Especially
that he's not talented.
MLS.
He's extremely talented. But, I mean, he's 18. I mean, I'd give him 3 years until I actually try and judge him as far as a national team prospect goes. But right now, looks pretty damn good. There's also the business of... Jurgen is choosing. See, the one thing that bothers me is that we played three matches with him now, and we haven't had Donovan and Dempsey.
We've played two matches with Jurgen.
Oh, two with Jurgen. Okay. We're going to play three matches without having Altidor, Donovan, and Dempsey on the same team. Not once.
Yeah.
And you know whether or not anybody likes it, they're going to be an integral part of the team going forward. Yeah. It was so. I mean, this is great, all this preparation, and we're playing a lot of friendlies. We just scheduled two more for October, and it's expected to have more in November. But you got to start actually putting your team together, and those three guys ought to play a huge role in World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, say what you want about the systems, but one thing that is important to get together before the World Cup qualifying matches start is camaraderie and playing together. And if these guys aren't playing with each other before the World Cup qualifying matches start, it's going to show.
And what good is testing a system without the players playing in that system? It doesn't.
Who are going to play in the qualifying? I agree.
Exactly.
Now, granted, if there is a positive so far, the players seem to love Jurgen. I mean, and love him with ferocity.
It's a new coach.
It's a new coach, and he's got spunk.
They're still
energy.
On their honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to love a new coach out of the bat, regardless of if they put in.
And Tim Howard had some glowing words for him, though.
He had glowing words for Bradley, too.
Well, but you could tell that near the end, some players refused to back up Bradley. Like, they wouldn't do it.
No, Donovan wouldn't do it.
Donovan, he's kind of important.
So,
he's kind of a big deal.
Okay, there's
people
one,
know him.
One guy wouldn't. Back in publicly, that's Donovan's known for being a bit of a
baby
hard ass.
Baby is the proper word for that.
But he's also a hard ass. You can sense that when he's on the field.
Not recently.
He's being quite the soft ass.
Well, I should say he comes off as being a prick on the field.
Doesn't mean we should. So we're going to cater to his
every whim and need.
I will.
That's why you're not a manager.
Yeah.
That's why you're hosting a podcast, not doing anything.
What's that say about you two?
Nothing better.
Yeah, no.
All right.
So at this point...
Well, I mean, what else... Let's talk about the game, actually.
Oh, what?
There was a game.
Wait, so we're going to talk about it, the one. Oh. All right, point is.
Well, let's take the good news first.
What's the good news? Give me good
news. Torres unbelievable. Is
the man.
Torres had a very good game.
He had a few moves where he would break down defenders and get by them, and I was just left saying, wow.
Well, my biggest...
Phenomenal.
Biggest positive from him was him playing his continued effort in defense. His best, he did attack well, but he played the best defense on the team.
And hey, he played in his natural position in the middle.
There you go.
I guess somebody was listening to us.
Additionally...
That's not true.
No. I think the three people who do, none of which are in high places in U.S. soccer. Although, if you want to talk about a coach who has a system which fits certain players, or a coach who chose not to have a system which would fit certain players, Bob Bradley's system, there's no way Jose Torres was ever going to do anything in Bob Bradley's system.
No, Torres was persona non grata for Bob.
And now we got Jurgen, and
well, that's
here
why we
are.
Had people
Torres.
Like Clark and Bradley would start in the midfield for Bob Bradley.
Empty that bucket.
And because Bradley was the best midfield we had for that whole entire period. So
but I'm just saying both midfielders fit good with Bob's system.
Clark disappeared after the World Cup.
And Jurgen
tried
to give him
back.
A chance. He tried to
Rico
give him a chance.
Rico Clark was still playing in qualifiers, though, for the last cycle.
Now, granted, if it was not for Rico, we wouldn't have won at TNT at all. Like, we were playing very poorly, and Rico just ripped off that shot. But past that, he hasn't really done much, and Jurgen tried to bring him back.
Thought.
I'm not sure why we're discussing Rico's role in qualifying anymore. That's past it.
Well, fine.
It's very much in the past. Rico hasn't done anything. Jurgen tried to give him a chance, and he blew it. He sucked.
He played 6 minutes.
He played 6 minutes, and he skied three shots in the process.
That's inaccurate. He missed
two shots. It was at least two. We were there. It happened.
All right.
Assessments on Robbie Rogers after his fairly decent cap against Mexico.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either.
Just like the rest of the team?
He showed a little more flash in the beginning
like
when everyone
else
was. And then when everyone else disappeared, Robbie Rogers showed his usual self, run real fast, do not much more.
I feel the same way. Robbie was good for the first 20 minutes along with the rest of the squad. But after a while, he just faded into the background. Yeah. By the way, big ups to Breck Shea for putting forth a monster effort over 90 minutes to just continually try. I mean, like, he was the only thing going for the U.S. besides Torres. And, I mean, he was getting the ball, trying to make something happen. Robbie Rogers, not so much.
Yeah, Breck Shea wasn't far off from the way Torres performed on Friday, but everyone else was pretty average.
Shea had a pretty blah last half hour, but he had played 400 minutes in the last week.
And more to come tomorrow. After the flight from LA to Belgium.
They asked a bit too much from him, but he still, like you said, kept going. But I think Klustin showed really well in his brief appearance, too. Klustin did well to settle in.
Sacha's been very solid ever since moving over to Europe.
I want him starting on tomorrow. I want him starting
on tomorrow.
On tomorrow, yes. Against Belgium, I want him starting.
I can see three men midfield. We see either Adu or Beckerman. And then you got Torres back there holding it down, and you got Sacha.
Thoughts on Edu? How did Edu perform against
Costa Rica? Edu was fine. His job was to link between the defense and Donovan or the defense and Shea. And to be honest, besides the one goal, he did just fine. I mean, he was solid. And their job is to be solid.
He was serviceable.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't great, wasn't bad. But isn't that the role of a
destroyer? It's hard in that role
at the back
to be great in that role. Well, I mean, they could have kept a clean sheet, but that wasn't really his fault as much as it was the entire defense as a whole.
Well, I'm going to call it a miscommunication between Bocanegra and Orozco.
Orozco, Goodson, please. Just Goodson, give me Clarence Goodson.
Well, Orozco got beat, and Bocanegra blew the offside trap.
He did.
So they both are at fault for that. Trap.
Yes. You saw a nice line from the whole back line, and then Boca about 3 yards back.
Yeah. Doesn't help much.
No.
No, not at all.
Visions of World Cup with the U.S. team, right, Ben?
Oh, yeah, of course. So, So, all right, lineup predictions. What do you think you want for lineups? Goalkeeper, Tim Howard, any way that Hamid even enters this game at all?
I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it either. I don't think we'll do that, though. I think Timmy will play.
I agree.
I think Hamid's best chance was to play on Friday.
If we had won the match on Friday, would we have seen Hamid tomorrow?
I don't think that would have made a difference.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything.
Well, because Jurgen's made it a point to involve the fans in what the national team is doing.
And that's a mistake.
Oh, it's a mistake. But what he's doing is taking responsibility.
Then everyone's going to want Freddie Bredu to be playing every match.
Want Freddie in goal one out of the week.
I think that had we won the match on Friday, the fans would have been really upbeat. And to be honest, Hamid's doing a lot of traveling for a whole lot of nothing. Besides the experience of playing with Tim Howard, which is actually
it's actually pretty sizable. Just the honor of being in camp with Tim Howard.
You're talking to a goalkeeper over here, okay?
I guess.
Do you idolize Tim Howard?
Yeah, he's a good keeper.
Yeah, he's a very good keeper.
He's the man.
Okay, so starting lineups, Timmy and Net.
Howard and Net. I want to see Goodson and Bocanegra at the back. I mean, to be honest. That's center backs, not fullbacks. No.
Yeah, why is Goodson getting ignored? I don't like that. Please change that immediately.
Goodson is getting ignored.
He's not Latino. Accept it.
And Tim Ream was getting ignored.
Well, Tim Ream also has not been out of this world the last half the season.
I agree. Goodson's been great for us when he's put the shirt on.
Ream has had a serviceable MLS season. He's done well, but nothing. He hasn't been Defender of the Year quality.
He personifies the word of the week, which we'll get to in a little while.
Indeed.
I'd say that the fullbacks, we're going to see the return of the mayor of Hanover, because there's no reason for him to actually like travel to this match unless he's going to play.
I agree.
So Stevie will be on the right-hand side. Left, it falls to Castillo by default, not necessarily
because he deserves it, but he might take it.
See, but in Jurgen's system, the... Like, You need your fullbacks to attack, and Bocanegra is the anti-attacking fullback.
Now, weren't we just criticizing Bob for having his system and not changing, and now we're talking about Jurgen having his system and not changing? It's just the same shit with a different color to it.
I guess you could say that, but...
I did say that.
But what you're asking him to do, though, is change the entire philosophy of the team because you don't want one guy on the field.
But when that person is a black hole who is wasting possession, who is getting burned
left and
right.
I agree. Who cares if he can attack if he can't?
He can't attack. He can't attack.
Who cares if he can attack or provide a marginally better attack than Bocanegra if he's just going to get burned on defense all the time?
And turn the ball over like clockwork.
Orange.
Indeed.
If he turns the ball over like Clockwork Orange, there's a lot of illegal things involved.
But I agree. I don't like it. I think Castillo's still going to start tomorrow. No, I think we're going to see Bocanegra and Goodson in the middle with Shirendolo at right back.
I'd rather see Spector try left back. I know I railed against it last week, but I don't care. I want Castillo not playing.
I can't say I don't agree with you. I would like to see somebody else other than Edgar. Fabian Johnson, once that paperwork clears, which it sounds like he'll be ready for the October friendlies.
God, I hope so.
He should be inserted directly into left back, and that will hopefully be the end of that.
God, I hope so, because Castillo is giving me nightmares.
Okay, well, getting past the frustrating part, what about midfield for tomorrow?
Midfield, Edu or Beckerman?
I want to see Beckerman.
I think it'll be Kyle's, because why would he travel this far and not play?
Yes, exactly.
And I think that Jurgen knows that.
And he impressed the Mexico.
He very much impressed. He was admirable.
So we could see Beckerman. And is there really a chance that Torres doesn't start tomorrow?
Absolutely not. If he doesn't start, I would personally maybe turn on Jurgen a little bit, because that's just crazy. Like, he was the best player on the field.
Yep.
Okay, now where does he start in the midfield, though? Because we have no Donovan.
What I want to see is Beckerman and Torres paired in the middle with Josie leading the line, Shan on the left, Kluschen on the right, kind of playing that wing position.
Okay, so then who's going to play at the point of the triangle midfield? Sacha? I'd like to see Sacha there. I don't see why not.
You said you wanted Sacha.
Well, I already had. I've got Klustin playing on the right, up top. And, you know, drop Klustin, put Dempsey up top. I lied to you. So I want Dempsey on the left, Beckerman in the middle, Klustin on the or Torres in the middle. Oh, fuck, shit, I'm going to do that. Beckerman and Torres kind of holding. Torres in the triangle, Dempsey on the right, Shea on the left, Josie up top. So Klustin off the bench again.
So you're going to have Torres at the tip of the triangle with Edu and Beckerman holding things down?
I think so.
I'm not against that. Mo would do a decent job. I mean, he's no Torres, but he could do that kind of thing.
I want to give Klustin a start and see how give Klustin more time.
I mean, let's be honest. In the Gold Cup, it was solid. He played well.
So let's go with Beckerman and Klustin holding it down. Torres at the point. Dempsey on the right. Shea on the left. Josie leading the line.
So why would you switch Torres from the spot where you had the man of the match performance on Friday up into that tip? I mean, because I think that's Sacha. I think he can handle it.
That's where I want Torres.
Is where he was before. At the point?
Yeah.
Torres may be the best playmaker or passer, best guy with vision that we have in the pool.
I think he's the best passer on the roster right now.
Yeah, right now, definitely.
Which is something that you want to have at that point position.
All right, so forwards.
Altidore in the middle.
Altidore, Dempsey, and Shea, if you ask me. Like, that's it.
The only thing I change with Ryan's is I'd have Beckerman and Adu, I think, behind Torres.
It sounds like we're going to... I mean, we should see some changes from the match against Costa Rica, but still a lot of faces that were still in the starting lineup there.
What I want to see is Dempsey leading the team more than Donovan did. Because Donovan just didn't do it for me.
He really didn't. I'm kind of curious, though, if we do see Klint out on the wings. Klint is a very creative player. We know that. Like, he's got, you know, he's got that inventiveness. And we're going to... Klint is going to have a lot more freedom on the wings. If that's where he plays, he'll have more freedom to move, make runs, use that skill that everyone knows he had, where in 09 with the Confederations Cup, he and Bob had that heart-to-heart talk about his role on the team because he wasn't allowed to actually use any of that freedom. I'm curious just to see how he's going to do on the wings where Jurgen goes, all right, attack.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll see Klint thriving in that with that mentality because people underestimate his defensive bite, which he gets too much crap for. He started as a defensive midfielder. He began there with New England, so he's got that ability. Plus, we know what he does going forward, so it speaks for itself.
So am I the only one who wants to see Breck Shea bomb one from like 35 yards out? I mean, because I think that he can. Yeah, I mean, I think he can do it, but he hasn't tried it yet.
I'm not going to complain, but
well, we saw that one chance at the end of the match that almost
the volley.
Yeah,
oh,
that was nice.
From nowhere, had the keeper on.
That was delicious.
On his toes.
That volley was awesome.
So predictions. What do you think?
What's your minimum expectation, and what do you think is going to happen? So your predictions and expectations. I'd say at minimum, I'm okay with a loss, but anything more than one goal, not. I would be uncomfortable with a multiple goal loss.
I think it's going to be a very open game because Belgium has a lot of young players. This is a Belgian team with a lot of young talent that if we don't see the 2014 World Cup, we'll definitely see them at 2018.
I think Belgium is one of the odds, like one of the underdog favorites for winning Euro 2012.
If they make it, they're having some trouble in qualifying right now, which is unfortunate.
I'm incredibly high on Belgium. I think Belgium could be, they could do what Greece did, but at a sustainable level. I think Belgium is a very good team.
And then, but with that, I think it's going to be very open. I think it's going to make for an attractive game to watch. And I think I hate saying it, but I think it'll probably be like a 2-1 result for Belgium.
Hate to actually predict a loss, but
I agree. But I think we're gonna have more positives to look from it than we did from the Costa Rica match. Because we always seem to up our game when the competition is also significantly better.
Also, having one more match under Jurgen and having just played 4 days earlier, that's going to help a lot, too. Although, the jet lag, that's going to be palpable. I mean, seriously? I mean, they flew from L.A. to Brussels and are playing a match 4 days, well, 3 days after the flight.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be 1-1. I don't think that, unless we break down significantly, I don't see us giving up a bunch of goals. And the same way, unless Belgium breaks down, I don't see us scoring a lot of goals. I think it's going to be 1-1 with a lot of chaos on both sides. They're both young teams working their systems out. A lot of chaos, a lot of sloppy play, but a lot of fun to watch play at the same time. So I'm going to go 1-1 with... what the hell? Boca's due for a goal.
Boca?
Boca's due for a goal.
Set piece?
Why not?
I could see it.
Mark me down for a Breck Shea goal.
Breck Shea.
Consider it marked.
And I'll be watching with Macaulay, which will make it even better.
Yeah, buddy.
Here's my prediction. Optimism. Clint Dempsey has a love affair. Okay, metaphorical love affair with Jurgen. Scores 2 goals. Goes off. Okay, so with that, we have our Yanks of the Week and the Word of the Week. Yank of the Week, guys, can it be anyone but Torres?
That's what I said.
I mean, who else?
Just for fun, I'm going to go Sean Franklin scoring 2 goals.
Yeah, he just did.
On the road.
Hey, made the ass out of you and me.
Leading LA to a draw, so I'm going to give Sean Franklin. But honorary mention to Frankie Hadick for just going balls to the wall and two-footing tackle on Omar Bravo. Just wiped him out.
Oh, that was awesome.
So Yank of the Week, Sean Franklin. Honorary Yank of the Week goes to my boy Frankie Hadick for wrecking Omar Bravo.
For a bad challenge.
No. It was a beautiful challenge.
It was an excellent challenge.
And then having the balls to say, no, I got the ball. You got nothing but Omar Bravo. And for that, I salute you.
And our Word of the Week is?
Our Word of the Week, this was my suggestion based on what we saw on Friday. And the Word of the Week is meh.
Meh.
Meaning
meh.
The team played meh.
And the result was eh.
Donovan.
Oh, the result was worse than that. We lost at home to Costa Rica. You can't say the result was meh.
Well, in total,
the
in
play was meh, but the result was shit.
Meh.
In summation of its parts, it was meh. And with that, that's about all we got for episode 4. Look for episode 5 next week after the match against Belgium. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say.
And look for episode 3.
And we also have European matches starting back up to keep track on the Yanks, too.
Indeed we do.
And we will see you all next week.
Keep smiling.
Goodbye, planet Earth.
And scene.